Hello, this is Rural Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 378. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you four different ways at the end of the program as to how you can receive one. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape copy. Either way, they're both free of charge, both and shipping and handling is included as well. We have a lot of scriptures today, Bible reading, and a lot of good commentaries. We have some testimonies. I don't know whether we'll be able to get to those because we've got quite a full program today. And we've got some great singing. Peg Springman is on deck here, ready to sing for you. One of my favorite songs. And I've been hearing it sung on a large television programs as well. I haven't heard this song run by anyone else for, you know, as long as I've been a Christian. I found that record of Peg Springman's on Word Record in a old secondhand store, and I bought it, and I love it. And I'm glad people are starting to sing it now, praise the Lord, and a lot of his songs. So let's go, before we play the record, the song, by Peg Springman, Right On King Jesus, let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask him to anoint this service. Father, we thank and praise your holy name because of all your direction in your word. Your word, the reproof of it, is the way of life. People in this world should know that the judgment of the Lord begins first at the church, at the body of Christ. And those, and so if the righteous, the Bible says, scarcely make it into the kingdom of heaven, we're just going to scarcely make it into the kingdom of heaven. Where do the unjust stand? They will not. The unjust shall not. I'm talking about judges, and I'm talking about people in government, the false witnesses that testify falsely against innocent people, and just general unjust people in general. Lord, I pray that the message will get through to them before it's everlastingly too late, that they'll receive the gospel into their hearts, that their souls may be saved. And we know that no one can be forgiven of their sins unless they accept the blood of you, Lord Jesus, upon their souls to wash away all the corruption and the filth that was there from the very time that they were begotten. Everyone has committed the Adamic sin, and this is what people should be saying, that we've all been sinners. We're all sinners and shaped in iniquity, but when we are saved again, we are no longer sinners because we cease from sin because of the power of God that enters into our souls at the time of salvation. And I hear people saying all the time, I am a sinner saved by grace. No, if you're saved, if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and determined by all that is in you, which is now the Holy Spirit, that you will no longer sin again, then you are born again of the Spirit and you're a son of God. And we know that if we're sons of God, that there is, we're in the body of Christ, that we're not sinning anymore. Because of the power of God that's in us, Christ with his Father by the Spirit is in us, and we are in him. And I'm telling you people out in the world, and those of you that are fallen away or slipped away from the Lord, that you must keep the commandments of the Lord, or there's no possible way for you to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, the scriptures were not given by men, but they were given, and therefore, there's no private interpretation of the scriptures that means exactly what it says. When it says God's wrath will be poured out upon all the sin, unrepentant sinners, they're going to be running for the hills, the mountains, and pray that the rocks go into caves, that they fall in on them, because of the fact that they have not kept the word of God explicitly like God has said that we must do. Father, I ask that you pour out conviction on them. Not, they're already condemned, Lord. They need conviction. They need the fear of you so that they will repent. This is the whole duty of man, is that they repent and get their sins washed away, and that they resurrect with you at your cross. And they remain on the cross. They take up their cross and follow it to the very last in Jesus' name. And that way they will have confidence on the day of judgment. No one of us knows exactly when we're going to go out to meet the Lord, unless somebody is foolish enough to commit suicide. Of course, Father, if they commit suicide, they're committing murder. Their body was created by you, and your body was created, and the purpose of the creation of it was that you could live in and through them, that you, Jesus, could live in them with the Father by the Spirit, so that the continuation of the Lord's works would be continued in these last days here on earth. And anyone that frustrates God by killing themselves or allowing somebody to kill them, don't worry, you're not going to get off the hook with that, because that's murder in the first degree. Planned murder, killing your own self or anybody. Now, God doesn't, Father, you don't talk to people and tell them to kill their children, to drown them in bathtubs. And another thing, too, I hear on the TV all the time on some false programs that drunkenness is a sickness. Why would you send somebody to hell in the lake of fire for sickness? You said no drunkard shall enter the kingdom of heaven. No kind of drunkard. That means those that take pills, pot, uppers, downers, inners, outers, smelling glue or gas or any kind of pot or hashish, anything like that, or alcohol. No drunkard shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And this is not a sickness. This is a demon possession. And if you people out there that are drug addicts, or you are drugged on alcohol or anything, God doesn't send people to hell for a sickness. Therefore, we know that it is a demon possession. And it's usually in this demon usually inhabits people that are so self-centered that it's unbelievable. They just can't, they feel sorry for themselves. Instead of feeling sorry for people that are in much greater straits than they are. And there's people in this world that are so poverty-stricken and so full of disease and infirmities that we need to get out there and be thinking about them. And if we don't, well, then there's no love of the Father in us. And if there's no love or mercy in us to go after people like this, we will not receive mercy at the judgment bar of God. So I pray, Lord, that you'll touch everyone's soul out in Radioland and the souls of people that call themselves Christians but never really have done a work for you, that they'll repent and believe the gospel, that their souls might be saved and strengthened. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone says, amen.
Amen.
Now, we're supposed to do that every day, one day at a time. And if we don't, well, we're in trouble with the Lord. And so this is called riding on. Just continue on to the end, because only those who continue on to the end shall be saved. And here's Faye Experiment to sing, "Ride on, King Jesus." He rode on even to the death of the cross, and we're not to be concerned about our flesh, because the flesh is not the real us. The real us is the Spirit inside. And if we deny our flesh and live by the Spirit, we will be in heaven, in paradise. And it's a wonderful feeling to know that this is your future. Okay, so here, play Fake Spragman. Right on, King Jesus.
No man can
was but young when I begun. No man can hinder me. But now my race is almost done. No man can hinder me. Ride on, King Jesus. No man can hinder me. Ride on, King Jesus. No man can hinder me. King Jesus rides a milk-white horse. No man can hinder me. The river of Jordan he did cross. No man can hinder me.
Praise the Lord. That's Fake Springman. Now, you know, most preachers, and I do myself, preach, tell people how, what you have to do to go to heaven. But the way you go to hell is in Titus chapter 3, verse 3. This is the Apostle Paul talking to Titus. He says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish." You know, the entire heathenistic world is very foolish and disobedient to God. We were deceived at one time, just like the whole world is right now, serving divers, a different kind of lusts and pleasures. That's the life of heathen, serving divers lusts and pleasures. Living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. That's the life of a heathen, and that's the very good way to go to hell if you want to. You know, we're not robots. The Lord made us free moral agents. And, you know, the heathens, they live a life of pleasure on the earth, just like the people at Sodom and Gomorrah. James 5, 5 through 7, chapter 5, verse 5 through 7 states, "Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth," pleasure, just like the people at Sodom and Gomorrah, "and been wanton," oh, you just so wanton, "ye have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just." Condemned them, they've put them in prison. They're doing it every day, and these fake judges today are just, they don't care, and the prosecutors don't care. They're just dogs. We're just dogs to the heathen. But the Lord states for us to be of good cheer, because he's watching all these things, and these things are showing the Lord that we're worthy of eternal life because we don't strike out against them. God knows that a lot of the people that are born again of the Spirit know how to strike out to people and put their life to an end. But if they did that, then their life would be ended so far as entering into the kingdom of God. And I certainly don't want that to happen. So they kill the just. And the just does not resist you. Be patient, he's saying, the Lord's saying to the just people now. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman, that's the Lord, waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. Because his fruit, it takes time for it to develop into ready to eat fruit. And the Lord is patient, and the farmers are patient too. They wait until the fruit is good enough, ripe enough to pick or harvest. So he waits for the Lord waits for the precious fruit of the earth. That would be the born-again Christians that are not taking vengeance on those that hate our haters. And the Lord hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Now the early rain is the Old Testament saints that were saved, and the latter rain that received the Holy Spirit late are the ones in the New Testament. Now Leviticus chapter 26 verses 31 through 33 and chapter 30 and then 36 and 38. The Lord says, and I will make your cities waste like New Orleans. Isn't that something? Now, people are saying that these are natural disasters or Mother Nature. No, the Lord brags about it here. He says, and I will make your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation. In other words, those are like a Catholic town there, and a lot of others are being destroyed by the Lord, not Mother Nature or natural disasters, but their sanctuaries, because the Lord doesn't care anything about their sanctuaries. He hates them because they're idol worshippers and they're living in luxury, the heathen. They're heathen churches, sanctuaries. And he says that he's going to bring your sanctuaries unto desolation. He's going to wipe it right off the map. And you hear these people that don't pay any attention to the Lord, they're saying, well, look, we're totally destroyed, but we're going to build again. The Lord says, you may build again, but I'll tear it down again.
Amen.
So, you know, the Lord discourages people like yourself. And I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. In other words, he won't hear your prayers. Because true prayers coming from the heart are like a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. And he won't hear your prayers, and you'll cry unto him, and he won't answer you. And I will bring the land into desolation. Look at some of these cities all over the world now that are being brought to desolation. And God says, no, 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 it's not Mother Nature. No, 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 it's me. He says, I will bring the land into desolation. And your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the heathen because you're heathen. All right?
Amen.
And we'll draw out a sword after you. And your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste, like city dumps. Now, do you ever see anything like that on the news?
Yes.
I do, too, and I don't think it's, I'm sure it's not Mother Nature.
Amen.
And I'm sure it's not a natural disaster, it's supernatural, by the superpower. So verses 36 and 38 say, and upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into their hearts in the land, L-A-N-D-S, of their enemies. And the sound of a shaken leaf, just a little leaf in a tree, shall chase them. I can already be so scared when even a leaf shakes. that's when you start getting maybe a little fear of the Lord and of what's going to happen to you. So, you know, you hear all these sugary preachers talk to you. I'm reading from the Bible. And don't you think for one second that it's not the reason that the Vatican and one of its branches, the ACLU, you hear all these people attacking the ACLU. Well, the Vatican doesn't care if you attack one of its branches, just so you don't say it's one of their branches or that it's them. Amen?
Amen.
So he's going to make you shake like a leaf. So a shaken leaf shall chase you, and they shall flee as fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when none pursueth, because everybody hates a loser, you know, out there in that world. We love losers. Well, that's why we keep preaching the gospel to you, so you can come in and be safe. Mm-hmm. Come into the Lord, because he protects you. He gives you protection. Amen.
Amen.
And verse 37 states, and they shall fall one upon another as it were before a sword when none pursueth. And ye shall have no power to stand before your enemies. God will let you be slain. Anybody that doesn't keep all the commandments, this is your fate. And ye shall perish among the heathen, because you're a heathen, and the Lord was warning the heathen to see what happens to heathen people, those of you that are living sumptuously and nourish your hearts in the day of slaughter. And the land of your enemies shall eat you up. Now, here's some scriptures regarding heathen. In case you don't know what heathen is, those are the ones that live in luxury and so on. And this is Revelation 6:15 through 17. And the kings of the earth, and the great man, and the rich man, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, that these people that were all involved in the Vatican, and the world government, and the media, the vile Satan's machine. Okay? And so what they're doing is they're sending people that were backslidden from our church around us, attempting to frighten us. But I have an assurance from the Lord that they will be taken care of in short order. And they haven't got any fear of God, and that's the whole duty of man, is to fear God and keep his commandments. And every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, because they lived in they lived nourished by the Vatican and the world government, because they take care of their own, but they put the people that are of the Lord in prison as though they have the final say. And the people that are the heathen and the ones that are evil, the kings of the earth and the great man and the rich man and the chief captains, notice that all these people are first, and the mighty man and every bondman, once it gets down to the Johnny Lunch Pail or the Auto Overtime or the Timmy Time Clock guys, the blue shirt workers, and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the earth and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. So, you know, you pushed Jesus around while you were here, and he just did it willingly, hoping that later on when you'd hear the word that it would cut your heart and you'd repent and then be saved, but you didn't. And from the wrath, and so it says, they pray to the rocks and mountains to hide them from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and that's Jesus. And from the wrath of the Lamb, that's Jesus. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God, the Father, are all one. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now here is Revelation 16:19, in case you think that God is just a God of love to everyone that just does their own thing, that drowns their children. Now, in the bathtub, then you get these psychologists and psychiatrists saying, well, you know, he was an abused child, and he really is crazy. The Lord doesn't care if you're crazy or what, because if you go against his word and you don't keep his commandments, you start murdering people, even your own children, or anybody, you're going to hell. And you may get by with that on this earth from these simpletons that operate in courtrooms, these evil courtrooms, but you're not going to get by with it when the breath goes out of your rotten body. You're going to stand before the Lord and you're going to be trembling. And even a leaf, before that happens, he's going to play with you and let a leaf chase you. Okay, so Revelation 16:19, and the great city was divided into three parts. This is Rome. And the cities of the nations fell. And the great Babylon, it's talking about Mystery Babylon, which is Rome, came into remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Now, you're not dealing with sweet Jesus, you miserable sinners out there. And that's why the Lord called me forth to ask you in a nice way to repent of your filthy, rotten sins and stop trying to fight God, because you're not going to win. He has the final say. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now read Acts 18, verse 5.
And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ.
Okay, so Jesus was Christ. Well, that's what God told me in the office when he says, Jesus is coming back to earth again. Get up on your feet and tell people that. As I mentioned, it's the number one doctrine in the New Testament, that there's 318 scriptures that state that Jesus is coming back to earth again. That's the most popular doctrine in the whole Bible. And we have to be cleaner. Our souls, our spirits must be totally clean. Vessels fit, not only for the Master's use in this world, but to be able to enter the kingdom of heaven and be there with him eternally. Okay, so these scriptures there, verse 5, and the bearer of the first epistle may have brought Paul an update on the new development, prompting him to write this letter, which is 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, these two letters. But the one I'll be speaking on today is the second letter primarily. I know that these things happen when people tell me that different things are being said in the church, because people forget the pit that they were dug out of. And they have false doctrine, and they won't endure, that is, they won't pay any attention to sound doctrine in these last days. I have to respond to it. They were still undergoing a persecution. And the false teaching about the day of the Lord in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 led some of them to overreact by giving up their jobs. The people in the church that can't find anything to do about ought to get jobs in the city so that they can be testimonies to the people that are unsaved out in the world. It's very hard, it's very bad for people to give up their jobs because they won't have any finances to give tithes unto the Lord. The problem of idleness also reported in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, had become more serious, chapter 3, verses 6 through 15. By this time, the Apostle Paul was beginning to see the opposition he would face in his ministry in Corinth. People thought that Sue and I were really bad because a lot of the people in the church wanted to go to work because they wanted to buy apartment houses and houses, and they wanted to get married. And so they wanted to go out and work. Back then, they wanted to work. And we didn't have any money to buy apartment houses or places for them to stay or get married. All we had was a church, and the building commissioner in Saugus, New Hall, Valencia area, to this day, doesn't allow us to build anything. We tried to build showers so the brothers and sisters could take showers. The brothers their own showers and the sisters theirs, of course. And they wouldn't allow us to do that. And it's they're charging us all kinds of money to upgrade the property, and it was all grandfathered in. So that they wanted to be married and have children. It would have been very dangerous, damaging for someone to come in and say there's no need to get jobs any longer or continue on any jobs longer because the Lord is coming back to earth again. Well, this is what some false Christian, or say it was not a Christian, but false Christian, was saying. He was sowing that that Christ is coming back to earth again soon. That's around 2,000 years ago, because that wicked man of perdition had not been revealed yet, the man of sin, and there wasn't a falling away, a huge falling away, and especially disguised as a revival. It looks like there's a big revival in the world, but those people are in false doctrine. And false doctrine cannot save your soul or anybody's soul. People need living facilities. What kind of a testimony would that be if we had married some people and they were living on the floor and they were having babies and walking with them out down the streets distributing literature with papooses on their back, that, like the Indians carry their babies in the papoose, but they go out every day and they'd be, so we had to have a place where there was babysitters could take care of babies and they have apartments, just like normal people. So we live in the world, we're not part of it because our world is the kingdom of heaven. We're not to take part in any of the lusts of the world. Love not the world, the Bible says, and so, but we knew well enough that, especially Susie, that we had to have a place where people could rest. They could go out for a couple of weeks to witness and testify, and then they could come back in and have a place to rest and to enjoy their families and a place where their children could play. And they had, we had two swimming pools up there, one that was larger than Olympic size and then a heart-shaped one. And they had horses and playground equipment and a little pond where they could ride their paddle boats and things like that. So, of course, what's wrong with that? Amen? Amen. I mean, you know, most people don't have that. Yeah. And we had, like, clothing. We could purchase clothing with the things that they made. And we opened a restaurant and was able to feed the not only the governor out of there. Governor Clinton used to come there. And all the top brass in Little Rock would come there to see the shows that we had there with Dolly Parton. She would sing gospel songs and some innocent little songs there. And we were able to cook for 1,000 people in there, plus our own people in the church. So again, so soon you wouldn't even hardly get started on your job, and the Lord would come. So don't do anything, is what these false teachers were saying. This wasn't Paul. That's one of the main things that Paul stated, is that there's going to be a falling away first. So don't get overexcited right now. And there's the wicked, and he said that, I mentioned that on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's mentioned 318 times in the New Testament. Again, that doctrine is more than any other doctrine in the entire New Testament. So, we have to really understand the day of the Lord. That's what the key theme, actually, of 2 Thessalonians is, to understand the day of the Lord and the resulting lifestyle. People now live better than King Solomon do, just the average John Doe. They have credit cards, they have electric light bulbs in their house, they've got central heat and air, they have carpets, they own automobiles. Solomon never owned all these things, or any of the prophets. They eat sumptuously, there's all kinds of drive-ins where they can go and get something to eat. And, you know, if they don't get enough pickles on their sandwich, well, they start raising Cain. Or if they don't get the right kind of bread, it's like a whole area of sumptuous, carnal people and their lifestyles. Is there no Jewish deli in the area? Oh, well, we could have maybe a sandwich flown in from Cantor's in Los Angeles. The life changes, the doctrinal error mentioned in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians has been causing the practical error that Paul seeks to overcome in chapter 3. What is people say, what is it? People say, we want people to go to work because we want money for ourselves. But no, 2 Thessalonians blows that false doctrine away. Sue and I didn't want the people to go to work because we were worried, and they were afraid that they would get back into drugs, back into the world. But they said, well, if we work in Bakersfield, out in the fields, chopping cotton or whatever, they were the ones demanding to work. Now, we weren't telling them to go to work because they, again, were ones who wanted to buy property for them to live in and to be married in and to have children in. And so I even went out to Bakersfield with him and was seen out in the fields hoeing in this very hot sun. I didn't like it, but, you know, I wanted to show the boys that I was just as macho as they are, if not more. So they wanted to have wives, children. Chapter 3, since some of the people that believed in that day had abandoned their work. They quit working and began to live off others, apparently assuming that the end of the world and Christ coming was at hand, right then and there. Paul taught to follow his example by supporting himself, by supporting themselves, and he instructs the rest of the church to discipline them if they fail to do so. If you don't work, you don't eat, the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
One of them, and you know, when they start laying around in a church and they're not doing anything, but they're supposed to be reading and praying and helping with the baby Christians, and they don't do that, well, then they have to do something. Okay, so they do have to go out to work. I told the Lord, well, the people in the church are not helping baby Christians. They're falling away like flies. And so the Lord told me, you teach them. And I said, me, I'm writing literature. He says, you teach them. So that's why I'm on the air, folks, in case you don't know it. And ever since then, God has really been blessing me a lot.
Amen.
One of them is the doctrine to not be soon shaken in mind. He tells them, or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of the Lord, the day of Christ, had come. It wasn't there at that time. Amen?
Amen.
Now we can plainly say that it is.
Amen.
But still, we don't quit our jobs. I work every day. And the reason for that is we don't quit our jobs. The Lord says to continue on what we're doing to the end. Amen?
Amen.
So, you know, if you people are prophets, you sure don't show it. Because if you've got some kind of a message coming into you that doesn't appear in the Bible, then you're a heretic. And the Bible says if we have heretics, we're to admonish them once and then twice. And if they reject, then we're to reject you.
Amen?
Amen? Now,
Amen.
We're telling you the real word of God here. So don't let anybody deceive you by any means. Don't use that for an excuse to not have to work. If there's not enough work in the church, well, then get a job. You know, I was involved with H.P. Barnum, who did a lot of work for arranging of songs for the coasters, and he did one, get a job. Get a job. Amen?
Amen.
It's scriptural.
Amen.
Okay, even H.P. knew that before he was saved. Okay? For that day will now come, unless there be a falling away. It will not come unless there's a falling away. Well, there is a big falling away. It has to come first, and it is here now. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. The corporate body of Antichrist is one body. It's like one man. That's the man of sin, the lawless one. You see that there's no law of God anymore. It's all right to murder babies and use them for facial cream. Bunch of devils that would follow such doctrine as that. I mean, I fear for your soul. You must be saved. Give your heart to the Lord and back off from this. Don't buy anything that the government is approving. They're approving meat that is totally contaminated with drugs and hormones. People getting high off of eating beef and dairy. The falling away that I see today is the churches that have so much false doctrine that they believe that there's going to be a rapture and they're going to be in it. The rapture is going to just come and take these heretics out just before the tribulations. But the Word of God, of course, tells us that immediately after the tribulations, the Lord will be back to get his people. Therefore, the tribulations means must first come. Not the rapture, if you want to call it the rapture. That word doesn't even appear in the Bible. Then the Lord comes to take his children home.
Amen.
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 The man of sin first has to be revealed. And now he is today. He wasn't revealed back then. Everybody up to this day even say it's going to be one man. No, it's the devil and the corporate body of Antichrist. Just as Christ has a corporate body that he lives in, so also does the Antichrist have a corporate body of evil people that he lives in. It is the son of perdition. We know that the man of sin is a corporate body of sinners, disbelievers. That's what that is. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. We command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. Because we received from the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have been commissioned to pass it on to everybody else. And everyone in the church has been commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ to pass what you know on to everybody else. Chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. So chapter 2 is one of the greatest chapters in 2 Thessalonians. It's a very small letter. But the second chapter is written to correct the false doctrines, the fallacious teaching that the day of the Lord has already come upon the Thessalonican church, when in reality, Paul said there has to be a falling away first, and the man of perdition, the lawless one, is revealed. This teaching, coupled with the affliction on that they had been suffering, is causing a great disturbance among all the believers, who wonder when they are going to be gathering together to him. Chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 through 13. Chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. When all this will take place, Paul makes it extremely clear that there are several identification marks, identifiable events that will precede the day of the Lord, that day, and that those events had not yet occurred at that time, but they are appearing before our very eyes. They're slapping us in the face today. Yeah, amen. Yeah. Who's causing all this sin in the world? All this lawlessness, and people are trying to figure out, well, there must be something wrong with their brains. Something's wrong with them. No, it's the spirit. It's the evil spirit. They try to go into people's brains that kill people and everything to see if there's anything different. And these people that are psychologists and psychiatrists, they themselves are crazy. All right, they really are.
Amen.
Because they don't pay any attention to the word of the Lord. It's a demon possession, so you're not going to see a demon unless one of them appears before you, and they're sure not going to do that. They want to keep you in darkness, that it's some kind of a different thing. And they say, well, this boy's grandmother kicked him in the rear end, and so therefore he has a right to kill that grandmother. You bunch of devil-possessed people, you are believing the Antichrist, the man of sin, the man of perdition, the lawless one. And it's all right to starve people to death too, right, Satan? Mm-hmm. No, the Lord says, no, you're supposed to pray for those that are sick, and they will recover. You're sick. The Bible says your whole head is sick, and you're full of putrefying sores. You see a great falling away today from Christ. Christ mentions that also in the book of Revelation, where it says, you don't love me anymore, you Christians. In other words, you've forgotten your first love, meaning you don't love me anymore. And you don't love the brethren anymore. And the Bible says, if you hate your brethren, you're still in darkness. If you're darkness, you're lost, okay? Mm-hmm. That's what it says. The word of God, who created the whole earth and heavens with his word. Here Paul says, you don't work anymore. You don't love the Lord anymore, and you don't work anymore, the works of the Lord. The Bible says also, if you don't work, again, I say you don't eat, the Bible says. When all these difficulties present themselves, when persecution comes, the Apostle Paul also reproves those who have decided to ease, cease working, to live a life of ease because they believe the coming of Christ is very near. The Lord tells us to do, to continue on to the end, doing what we're doing, all right? So if we're working, we have to continue on to the end and give our bosses a double portion every day to let them know, man, this guy says he's the Christian, he's the best worker I've ever had, to show yourself that you're of the Lord, that you're following the Lord's command. And when they say, you're doing such a great job, you're supposed to say, it's because the Lord commands me to do it, and I don't want to go to hell, and that way he'll be convicted. Some of you people don't know how to witness and testify yet. You have to exalt the Lord, not yourself.
Amen.
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 So we have to continue to the end. The Bible also tells us to be good testimonies to the people that we're working for, so that they will be able to see Christ, that they are not just sitting, that you're not just sitting around collecting money from the people that we're working for, but that we're actually putting in a full day, good day's work. Second Thessalonians deals with Paul's encouragement during a time that they are being persecuted. He encourages them, and that's what you see, all kinds of persecution happening. You should be encouraging one another. You don't let persecution get you down, because the Bible said if we're keeping all the word of the Lord, that there's nothing that can harm us.
Amen. Amen.
He gives us his protection. Paul's explanation of the day of the Lord and the Apostle Paul's exhortation to the church. This encouragement during the time of persecution and after his two-verse salutation, Paul gives thanks for the growing faith and love of the Thessalonians. Persecution shouldn't stop your faith. It should increase your faith. Amen?
Amen.
Make you more powerful, because you see the Lord's going to deliver. He's delivered me from every persecution thus far.
Amen.
I've gone to prison for a pack of lies, and the government knows it very well, and they say it all the time. This assures people of their ultimate deliverance from those who are persecuting them, chapter 1, verse 3 through 10. They are encouraged to patiently endure their afflictions, knowing that the Lord Jesus will judge their persecutors. He's going to judge them, and he's going to destroy them here on earth. So we're trying to get to them before this happens, when he's revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, chapter 1, verse 7 through 8. Okay, and I see that my time is up right now, but I'd like to continue on with this if you'd like me to.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you don't like me to, I'm going to do it, okay?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. So only the devil would not want me to continue on with the Bible. That's why the Vatican is trying to do away with the Bible. They try to make it look like it's the ACLU and other, but these groups are just branches of the Vatican. So the way that you'll be saved and not be caught in the condemnation is to begin by saying this prayer, and say it to the Lord. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy former sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away, my former filthy sins away, in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, I know, because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up and praise and thank the Lord and give him all the glory for it, because he just wanted you to hear his word. And his word, if you're of the Lord, the Spirit of God in his word will draw you to him. And I pray that you'll let me know if you've received the Lord. Now here's Sharon to tell you four different ways to receive a copy of this program. This program is number 378. You can receive it on CD or audio tape free of charge, including postage and handling. Go ahead, Sharon.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. We're going to be praying for you and pray for us too, because we are enduring persecution. There's never a time for not being persecuted. And the Bible says all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And so don't be afraid of that though, because the persecution makes you strong. Now here's H.B. Barnum's Life Choir to sing the Life Prayer Song.